Okay, we're going to finish off lesson two. Notice on the second part, 1611 King James Bible is God's perfect. Let me see that, God's perfect word. And then I'm trying to get down to number two. And, you know, number one was God gave us a perfect Bible. I'm glad he gave us a perfect Bible. And I showed you how it's perfect. It's going to last forever. And it's Psalms 12, 6, and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. That might be Psalms. That might be Proverbs 30, verse 5. But anyways, I'm really drawing a blank right now. 6 and 7, I know that verse by heart. But what is it, John? Yeah, the words of the Lord are pure words. They're purified seven times. And then, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them for this day, forever. And so, we've got a perfect Bible. God gave us a Bible that's going to last throughout our eternity. In Revelation 22, it tells you not to mess with it. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, says, don't touch it. We don't need man to try to make the Bible better. The Bible will make man better. I always get a kick out of unperfect man trying to make a perfect Bible better. No, the Bible was wrote so unperfect men could come to Christ and get better through that. And so how is the Bible divided? It's got 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And we talked about 66 books. Deuteronomy 6:4, God agreed with Israel to keep his law. And where it says note? That's just all I want to teach on that one little paragraph there. That's what I want to teach on tonight. How many see that note? Both Old and New Testament. And I want you to get this. This is so important. And that's why I took a whole class just for this. God, it don't matter if it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, Abraham got saved by grace. Peter got saved by grace in the New Testament. I don't care if it's the Old Testament. There's a lot of people tell you, well, they got saved by works in the Old Testament. Nobody ever got saved by works. Nobody ever will get saved by works in the Old or the New. Now, there's some idiots that actually teach this, even some Baptists sometimes. There's some Baptists that teach that the Old Testament, not us, not fundamentalists. But there's some morons that don't know the Bible that think they do that teach that the Old Testament had an element of works. Look up here, everybody, get this from this preacher. There is no element of works for salvation. You can't work your way to heaven. Moses couldn't work his way to heaven, and neither can Rich Skiver. No one ever worked their way to heaven, and no one ever could work their because we're all sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Ecclesiastes, there's not a just man upon the face of the earth. Amen? And so, but I want to just show you a great truth that years ago, Dr. John Brooke showed me a great truth and it set me free. Well, I already knew the truth, but it didn't set me free, but it made me feel better what I believed. I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 21. I don't have all these scriptures on this. I hope you got a pen. Billy, I didn't put all the Bible scriptures on that paper because if I did, it would fill the paper up. So I just gave you a basic outline there. But I want you to look at this. When you get to Genesis 3:21, this is after Adam and Eve sinned and they've been expelled out of the Garden of Eden. And then God comes to him. And look what God says to Adam and Eve, or look what he does for him. And how many have got Genesis 3:21? Unto Adam, by the way, they stood naked before God. They stood guilty before God. By the way, all people stand guilty and naked before God. And unto Adam, verse 21, Genesis 3, and to his wife, Eve, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. How many see that? I'm going to give you a great truth about this tonight. And He there's Sean, there's a first another great truth about redemption right there. He clothed them. Just like God clothes us with the God gives us the in Revelation 19 we find out we get the robe of not righteousness. Are you with me? God clothed them. Well, an innocent animal had to die. For them, think with me now. For them to be clothed, they had to, for them to have a coat of skin, an innocent animal had to die. Amen? For them to get the skins and coat, the coats of skins. And we believe without a doubt, it was a lamb. It was a lamb that was slain. It was a it was coats of skin from a lamb that they were clothed with. Shown forth, what was Jesus called by John the Baptist? The Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. They were their nakedness was covered by the by a lamb being slain, and the, that coat of that lamb covering their nakedness, just like Jesus covers us with his righteousness. We have the robe of righteousness. That's a great symbolic truth of the Lamb's robe of righteousness. How many are with me yet? Stay with me. Look at Genesis chapter 1, or 4 rather. Okay, you got 3:21. They got a lamb dies, and they're clothed by that lamb. And if you don't think it was a lamb, you watch Genesis chapter 4. Look at 4:1. Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived, bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother. We believe they were twins because she didn't conceive again. Did you see that? We believe Adam and Eve, we believe Cain and Abel were twins. If I'm wrong, we'll find out when I get to heaven, but I believe they were twins. And she again bare his brother. See, she didn't conceive again. She just bore another child. So Adam and Eve were twins. Cain and Abel, I'm sorry. And Cain and Abel. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of ground. I wonder why Abel was a keeper of sheep. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto his Lord. He worked hard. Sean, Cain worked his fanny off. Had a bumper crop. And he brought the best crop from the work of his hands. He offered up the best he could with his what he produced with his hands. He offered up the best he could with God, to God. When you read this, God didn't accept it. And Abel, verse 4, he also brought the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel to his offering, but unto Cain, his offering, he had not respect. Oh, wow. Cain brings the best fruit or whatever it was. He brought the best thing that he ever had to God. Here you go, God. Just show you how much I appreciate you. And God says, nah. See, it's not by works. You can't work your way to heaven. But God, if you notice Abel, his brother, God accepted the offering of the lamb because that lamb was a type of Christ to come. That lamb pictured Jesus being slain for their sins. Listen, look up here. When Adam and Eve were naked and God killed that lamb and clothed them, let me tell you something. I'm sure God explained to Adam and Eve that there was going to be a Savior come and redeem them of their sins. And they got the plan from God. Then they went and told the plan of God for redemption about the lamb to their two sons. How would they have known unless God told Adam and Eve? How many are with me yet? And then one received it, one rejected it. One believed that he had to have God's lamb to get him to heaven. The other one believed he could work on his own merit. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. Not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man... How many see that? Now watch. Stay with me. This, if you get this truth about the lamb right from Genesis 3:21, when Jesus comes on the spot, and John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." For 4,000 years, Betty, for 4,000 years, they were promoting the Lamb. The Lamb was the sacrifice. Are you still with me, church? Think with me. How many are with me yet? Don't worry what's on TV. I'm giving you some truth in the Bible. I'm giving you eternal truth tonight. More important than anything, Bobby, he gave him money. For 4,000 years, they knew about the Lamb. Even Moses, they offered up a lamb. The blood of the Lamb protected them from dying. Remember that? And so from Adam and Eve, though, from Adam and Eve, they offered up lambs to sacrifice because it was a type. It was a symbol of the Lamb that was to come, which is Christ. And that's why when you see John the Baptist, who was thought about like a foretold like Elijah, when John the Baptist saw Jesus on the Jordan River, the first thing he did when he saw Jesus, the first statement, "Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world." He was excited. Hey, for 4,000 years we've been talking about a lamb coming. God brought that sacrificial lamb to us now. There he is, the Christ. Are you still with me? And now watch this in chapter 4. And in verse, Abel brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel because he came by the blood of the lamb. God don't have no respect to anybody unless they come by the blood of the lamb. And but unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. He was mad. His countenance fell. You could tell his face. You ever seen somebody when they're mad? Boy, don't get around them. She's mad. Get out of here. Well, you could tell he was really mad. And the Lord said in verse 6, "Hey, Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is your countenance? Why are you at the tippy? Why are you so tipped up for? What are you so mad for, Cain? What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you, huh?" And in verse 7, "If thou doest well," if you just do what to come to me the way I tell you to come unto me, by the Lamb, "if thou doest well, Cain, thou shalt not be accepted." Won't you be accepted? Well, sure you would. "And if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. What can take my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You can offer up all kinds of things. You don't offer up that the lamb's blood, you ain't going to make it. How many are getting it? "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And of course, you know the story. Cain got mad, walked out, and killed his brother. You know, but the truth I want you to see there is they had to come by the lamb. And it's always been the lamb. No one's ever got saved by works. No one ever will get saved by works. There are people there's good people that believe you have to work your way to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. The work that God did on Calvary's cross, that's the work that gets people to heaven. Christ. Christ is the way you get to heaven. Now, stay in Genesis with me, and let's look at Abraham, because he's called the father of our faith. Abraham's called the father of our faith. I'll show it to you in Romans in a little bit here. But look at Genesis 15. You know, in Genesis 12, God calls Abraham out. And look at Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6. Let's pick up on verse 2. Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." Remember, he said no seed. How many see that word? I got it circled in my Bible. Because in Galatians, I'm going to show you, the Galatians talks about that a seed. Not that seed, but the seed that God gave. "And lo, one is born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came," verse 4, "unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And, of course, we know that's going to be Isaac. Are you with me? Now watch what God says to Abraham in verse 5 and 6. And I can prove it to you in the book of Romans, and I can prove it to you in the book of Galatians. And he brought him forth. God and the Lord brought Abraham out. He brought him forth. God bringing Abraham. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, watch what he says there, Sean. So shall thy seed be. Not seeds. Not seeds, plural. Seed. How many see that? Singular. Look what verse 6 says. After God said that to him in verse 5, look what Abraham says to God in verse 6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. How many see that? Abraham got saved right there. You say, how could that happen? He got called out in 50. Hey, listen, I got called out in a lot of things, but until I really knew I needed Christ as my Savior, I was a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. I led in prayer, took up the offerings, passed out gospel tracts, but wasn't saved. And then about a year later, I realized I needed Christ. Hello? I'm shaking you up, ain't I? See, Abraham, in my heart, this is where Abraham got saved. And I'll show you why. I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. If I don't prove it to you in scripture, don't believe it. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him. He believed the Lord, and he counted it for him for what? Okay, now watch. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. No one ever got saved by works. If anybody could get saved by works, Abraham could have got saved by works because he worked hard for God. No one ever got saved by works. No one ever will get saved by works. Carl doesn't serve God to be saved. Carl saves God because he is saved. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 16 with me first. Verse 16. By the way, before you look at that, look at Galatians 2:16. But don't worry, don't forget about that seed. I always get off, Sean. But I see. Look at Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, so all you people that believe they can get saved by keeping the law, you just got shot down. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How many see that? Now, look at Galatians 3:16. Stay with me. Galatians, and stay in Galatians because I got a few more verses. Now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. How many got Galatians 3:16? He saith not, God saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Wow, that'll blow your mind. See, God promised Abraham through his descendants he would bring the Messiah. Are you with me? How many are with me yet? Look at verse 19. Well, preacher, by the way, look at verse 16 again. Make sure you get this. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds, as a plural, many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Remember back there in Genesis 15, 6? Remember that, Billy? He said, how many remember that? That seed he was talking about was the seed of Christ, that a Messiah would come. And that's what God said, Abraham, I'm going to send you a Messiah, a Redeemer, through thy seed. And he believed on that coming. Brian, we get saved looking back at the cross. The Old Testament got saved looking towards the cross. Is that an easy way to understand it? Now watch. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, then the question comes in, what good was the law? You didn't need the law to get saved. What good was it? Look at verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? What good was it for us then? Well, here's what it was added because of the transgressions till the seed. Who's that seed? According to Galatians 3:16. They're right. Tell me again. You're right, Emma. Who is it? You're right. That seed is Christ. Abraham didn't see Christ, but he believed on him to come. And thy seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. How many see that? Now, what good did that the Ten Commandments give us then? Well, look at verse 24. If it's not Christ, then why did you give us the Ten Commandments? Look at verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. What does a schoolmaster do? It teaches you things. A teacher teaches you. Are you with me? By the way, the kids made a lot of cool stuff in the basement. Levi made a thing with the army men on both sides. He's always dressed up. It was a perfect thing for Levi. He had two groups of army guys on both sides. I think they're still allowing you to vote which one you like the best, too. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. Talk to one of the teachers. They know more than I do about that. Wherefore, the law, the Ten Commandments, was our schoolmaster. Why? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What do you mean, preacher? What did that Ten Commandments show me? It showed me I was a sinner. Look up here, everybody get this. What was the schoolmaster that I was taught from the Ten Commandments? That I'm a sinner. Because no one can keep all Ten Commandments. If you say you do, you deceive yourself. Well, I've only committed it once. You know, how many times you got to sin to become a sinner? Just once. By the way, we sin way more than once. The schoolmaster, look up here. You got to get this great truth. I wish all Christianity could learn this truth. The reason God gave Moses the law was to show people that they needed a Savior. The law showed me and you, Bobby, that we're sinners because we keep breaking the law. Hello? And that the law never could save you, but praise God, it convicted me that I was a sinner. And then when Christ came to die for me, I'm a sinner. Hey, Billy, that's why Jesus came. Billy, believe it or not, as good a guy as you are, he came and died for your sins. Mine too, Billy. And the law showed us that we're sinners. Now watch. Where am I in verse 24? Wherefore, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. How do you get just by faith in Christ, not by the law, not by keeping good works? You can't keep them anyways. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. No, I'm not. I know. I'm under grace, under Christ. Are you with me? Look at verse 26. For we are all, watch this. I hear people say this thing is quoted so wrong. People say, well, we're all the children of God. That's a false statement. We are not all the children of God. We're all the creation of God, but we're not all the children of God. You become you're the creation of God, but you only become a child of God when you get faith in Christ. Look, for we are all the children of God. Then it doesn't stop there. By faith in Christ Jesus. That clown that's running I'm in a good mood. I don't want to get bad mood. Lord, help me not to get. I've been too happy today. I don't want to wreck it. I don't want to get my mind on Obama. It just gets me feeling bad. Look. If you think he's saved, boy, wow. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What makes you a child of God? Faith in his son, Christ. What gets you justified? Christ. Faith. Now, look at verse 29. And if we be Christ, watch this. Are you in 29? And if you don't think Abraham got saved back in verse 5 and 6 in Genesis 15, if ye be Christ, then are you what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Woo! See, Abraham's called the father of faith. Hello? Now, I believe Adam and Eve believed on Christ. I believe that. I believe Abel believed on Christ. We know Cain did not. Look at Romans chapter 4, and I'll let you out of here. I had a ton of other stuff, but I'll quit. I didn't even take you to some of the other stuff I wanted to show you. We'll see how I feel. I should stop in Romans 4, but I probably will. I'm hoping. I think I will. Let's see what I feel like. Look at Romans chapter 4. Betty, we used to have a Bible college here, and I used to teach the book of Romans. We had two-hour classes, and we had a great time. We get back on that land, we'll start a college up again. I think the preacher, you know, even when someday, I'm not retiring now, so don't get excited. But even when I do retire, I think I'll always teach in the Bible college. I'd like to teach young men and young women that want to serve Christ with their ministry life. Amen. The book of Romans. If you know the book of Romans, there's five major doctrines, and it'll set you free, man. Five major doctrines of condemnation, justification, sanctification, glorification, and whatever the next one is. Let's see. Consecration. And so five major doctrines taught in the Bible, and they're all taught in the book of Romans. Well, look, let's talk about Abraham, and I'll close. It's already a little bit after 8. What shall we say then? How many got Romans 5? Romans chapter 4. How many got 4:1 of Romans? Are you with me in Romans? Well, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Has he worked his way to heaven? For if Abraham were justified by works, verse 2, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. How many see that? Hey, Abraham, you might want to toot all you want in front of people, but don't be tooting your horn in front of God. He ain't going to listen to it. Look at verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? And that's all that matters, but the Scripture. And now it talks to you about Genesis 15:6. Abraham, what's the Scripture say about Abraham? Well, the Scripture says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to show you. Abraham got saved. Steve, when Abraham got saved, that's when he trusted Christ as his Savior. What says the Scripture? How did he become righteous? When he believed God. How many see that? Look at verse 3. For what says the Scripture? Well, we read it to you in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of or debt. Well, it's by grace. But to him that worketh not, but believeth. Look what it says there. Not to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. He's got asking a question. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him justified, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Nothing about works. It's all faith. All faith in Christ. There's where it's at. Don't ever let no one teach you. You can lose your salvation, or you can fall from grace, or you gotta do something, something plus Christ. No, it's all Jesus. 100% Jesus, 0% anything else. All Jesus, nothing else. All to Jesus. That song goes on. I surrender. And that's where it's at. And believe it or not, there's a lot of good people that's never been taught truth. And they're holding on. They're hoping so. I don't have a hope so salvation. Listen, I'm ornery. You don't live with me. If Rosie wrote it, I'm a grumpy old guy sometimes. I'm a mean critter. Especially if I don't eat my cocoa puffs. I've never ate that cereal in my life. But I like the way it cuckoo. But there's sometimes I get up in the morning, I don't feel good. I don't feel saved, but I am saved. Last year when Ohio State lost to Michigan, I was violently mad. I even yelled at one of my kids. I was so mad. I was violently mad. Later I went and apologized to him and said, "Man, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have yelled you." That's because I'm an old rotten sinner. Hello? Well, I hope Ohio State keeps going good, don't you? But it means nothing towards heaven, though. But sure makes it a lot better on this earth, though, don't it? But what I'm trying to say is this. There's a lot of people that get so caught up in working for God. I'm holding out to the end, or I'm praying. Listen, you ain't going to pray through to heaven. You're not going to work your way to heaven. Even our founding father, Abraham, the great patriarch, Abraham, do you believe the Bible? It says there that he believed Christ. How many see that? look at verse 16. Therefore, look at verse, are you still in Romans 4? I'll quit. Look at Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace. Billy, if you and I could work to heaven, if we could do something to work our way to heaven, it wouldn't be grace, would it? Then why would Jesus even have died then? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure up to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but also the also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's the father of faith. Faith in God. Did you get it? It's just a tremendous truth. And I just thank God for it. And so thank God for your great truth. And you can write this down on your paper. Remember, 1 Peter 1:18 says we're not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And then verse 20 it says, who was from the foundations of the world that he was going to. I'll have to read it to you. I'm having trouble quoting tonight. I told you first. Let me give you that 1 Peter 1:18. I want 1:18 and 20. Yeah, 1:19 of 1 Peter. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb. Remember, I told you that was a lamb with Adam and Eve, without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Listen, Christ was already foreordained that he was going to die for the sins of man. And in these last days manifested for you. Peter says that lamb that God told Abraham about, he was manifested for you during these people's time when they were living. Look at one more scripture, and I'll close. Look at Revelation 19. God put a robe, God clothed Adam and Eve, and that was a type of the robe of righteousness. And if you look at Revelation 19, I will stop. Look at verse 7 and 8. One day, Ray, you and I are going to stand before God. He's going to put robes on us. Let us be glad. How many? Look at verse 7. Now, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we've already been up there 7 years with Christ. This is before he comes back. This is before the this is right before we come back from the for the tribulation. But we've been up in heaven. This is right after the rapture. We've been up with Christ for 7 years. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife had made ready herself, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. How many see that? Just like he clothed Adam and Eve, he's clothing us with the righteousness of Christ. Look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, and they were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. How many see that? And it all started with Adam and Eve at Genesis 3:21. God told Adam and Eve about a lamb, a redeemer that was going to come and die for him. And then he kills an innocent lamb, Billy, in a type, in a symbol. See how he shed this blood of this innocent lamb? That lamb's blood was shed for you, for your forgiveness. And I'm clothing you. From that, you were naked, but I'm clothing you from this slain lamb. See, the slain lamb covered their nakedness. Get this, I'm all done. Sean, when you're teaching the Bible class over in Super Church, that slain lamb of Adam and Eve covered their nakedness. And when Jesus died on Calvary for you and I, his righteousness, he was the Lamb of God, he was the Lamb of glory. We are covered by that slain lamb. His righteousness clothes us so we don't stand guilty and naked before God. It's a great truth. It's hard to give it to you in 25 minutes, but I did pretty good for 25 minutes. And get excited about what God gave you. It's a wonderful thing. You've got the imputed righteousness, something we don't deserve. He just gave it to us freely. Oh, what a gift. Amen? The gift of righteousness. I'm not righteous. He's righteous. I'm a sinner. Boy, praise God, I had a Savior that was sinless. I got a Savior that was perfect. And he was slain for me. And that holiness and that perfectness of a slain, that lamb that went to Calvary. For everyone that puts their faith in him, Billy, they get that, they get clothed. They get clothed by that lamb. And they get clothed with the righteousness of God. It's a wonderful truth. Don't ever let no one take that from you. Man, you got the greatest thing in life when you got the righteousness of Christ. The very day when I trusted Christ as my Savior for the old green couch, only paid $110 to couch lamps and everything. That day when I embraced Christ as my Savior, I didn't see it, but God did it. God clothed me in the righteousness of God. Isn't that exciting? I'm far from being righteous. You ought to watch me when I watch football games. Man, that guy's our preacher. I'm watching one of those politicians. I want to kill that guy. I'm gonna kill him. Not really. Yeah, really, I do. But anyways, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. How many are glad they're saved? And I'm glad we got that wonderful. I don't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It's grace that God gives everyone that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.